Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Ceratori, the head coach of the Beavers. Tom, last night was certainly a battle. You and I talk about this a lot, that records in college hockey don't mean much, but to me, Huntsville's got one of the best-looking teams, as far as eye test, for a one-win team into January. How does that eye test change when you actually see them in person again, as opposed to watching on a laptop or on a TV?
It doesn't change. It's the same thing we see. I told you that in November. I think you thought it. I was on Pluto, and remember I told you that? And I see sometimes the media wants to get more out of me because they might look at a record, and then I sit there and I tell them the positives of the team, and I sometimes I don't think that there's buy-in from who I'm talking to. But we as coaches, we've been in this racket a lot of years. We have respect for every team. We know exactly how difficult it is to win. And it is. It's just I've been through it. It's hard to win in college hockey, and this team can skate. And when you can skate, you can obviously be very effective. And then you compound that with a work ethic, and their work ethic is off the charts. They can make it miserable, and it was very difficult last night. And our guys found a way, and we played good hockey. We played very well. So that's a testament to Huntsville, but it's also a testament to Bemidji.
We talked a lot about Owen Sillinger and his faceoff numbers. Let's talk about the other four guys that are on the ice with him. How much have they helped that number be so good lately?
Well, I think, again, the bottom line is that we talk about it. The other two forwards have to be involved in the faceoff, but you still have to get the puck on your side too. And Owen does a very good job of getting his puck, getting the puck on his half of the rink right there to obviously allow him to win a faceoff. And you know what? Owen has the ability of winning faceoffs clean as well. So he's getting help, obviously, from his flanks, but he's also getting it done by himself.
Like the calls or not, there were a bunch of penalties called last night, a lot of four-on-four and one team with a power play for a couple of seconds, and then all of a sudden there's another penalty called. Whose job is that on the bench to make sure that the guys know who's up next?
Well, it's my job with the forwards and Wentz's job with the defensemen, and they kind of know it. We pretty much try to tell them well in advance who's up, but there's times that it might go down to what a guy coming on the line change, what you're telling him to be ready, but sometimes you're doing line matchups. Sometimes you might be doing some things that you're waiting a little bit, and sometimes once in a while we coaches are a little, we might be a little late, but it's our job, and we're pretty effective with it, and you just better know who's in the box, who's coming out, and who's going out next.
How much do some of those decisions change depending on who's in the box?
Well, it changes a lot, mostly when you have a penalty killer in the box, so then that throws out your – it throws off your penalty killing partners, and these guys obviously work off each other. So there's a lot of different things that happen, Schultze, and you got to be adaptable.
This is year two of allowing the 19th skater to be dressed. You almost exclusively go with a defenseman, but as the games keep ticking away here, how much more comfortable are you, and how you want to use that extra player?
We've used it primarily, and you said, almost like 100%. I think we have been 100%. I could be wrong, too. I can't remember last year every game, but I think we've primarily used that as a defenseman. And I think it's important to use that as a defenseman just because it's easy to put a defenseman up front if you have to, if there's injuries. Number two, if you have one defenseman who might get injured during the game, and it could be your it could be your minutes guy, could be your minute munching minutes guy, could be maybe one of your skill guys, I don't know, but somebody could get kicked out of the game, then one of those defensemen might be in the penalty box, and so next thing you know, if you only have six, now you're down to four. So I just think it helps you having seven defensemen. It's just kind of an insurance policy that you need.
More with Coach Ceratori when we return. Pregame show continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Ceratori. Going to focus in on some stats here in this half, Tom. You're 9-2-2 when you score the first goal this year. 2-5-1 when you don't. That number is always important, but is it more so important in the second half to be playing with a lead?
I think it's important all the time. Second half, first half, 10th game, 20th game, 30th game, it doesn't matter. You want to get that first goal. You're feeling good on the bench. But I'll also say this, too. When you don't score first, but then you answer back, there's also, that adds a lot of juice to your team, and it added a lot of juice to their team last night. You could just see the pick-me-up that they actually had. But, no, it's a big stat. It's an important stat, and the stats don't lie right there, Schultze. So it doesn't matter, I don't think, what game it is, Schultze. That statistic is so important throughout the whole course of the season.
Your power play has scored 16 goals this year. Last year, for the entire year, you only had 20. You've already got 11 wins. How much does power play success translate to wins?
Well, we did last night. You know, so we won last night because of our power play and our penalty kill. We know what we, you know, we kept them down. So we won the power. We won the special teams battle 2-0. We won by 2 goals. So that was the difference. If we don't get any power play goals last night, maybe we still win. Because the whole complexion of the game changed. As we know, we can't sit there. We don't have a crystal ball to sit there and say what would have happened if this call wouldn't have happened. So, but, you know, I'm just spitballing right here. But, hey, they could have won. We could have won. Could have been a tie. Who knows? But the bottom line was we won by 2, and we outscored them 2-0 on special teams.
This stat I saw last night after the game, and I don't honestly know what it meant, but it kind of jumped off the page to me. You got 102 assists this year. Huntsville, 102 assists on 65 goals. Huntsville's got 68 assists on 42 goals. You got a bunch more assists than they do. What does the second assist mean to you as to how a team is playing?
You know, Schultze, I've never thought of that question before. Why do you throw these questions at me, Schultze? You know, I mean, probably because you're a media guy. You know what I mean? You know what? We always say, you know, king of useless information, right, Schultze? But I like this question. I like this question because as I'm talking to you right now, I'm trying to think of my answer. And I just think probably it's more puck possession. I'm speculating that obviously if you have more second assists, you probably have more puck possession in the zone or on the rush at that particular time.
Alex Adams has 6 goals this year. Half of them have been game winners. What does a game-winning goal mean to you?
It means that you're kind of a clutch player, and it means you're getting something done at the time that when the team needs you. And sometimes, again, I've, you know, Adgie's had a heck of a year, but sometimes, too, a game-winning goal can be you might have a two or three-goal lead, too, and then the team might answer back. So it all depends on how the game-winning goal is being scored. But if it's like last night, that was a big-time goal, and we needed that goal at that particular time because it was a 1-1 game in the third, 5 minutes in. So it all depends, I guess, how you want to sit there and analyze the game-winning goal. But I think we can put the word clutch by it.
Dryden McKay, Minnesota State, is 1.2 goals against this year. First in the country, Zach Driscoll is 1.7, sixth in the country. Talked an awful lot when Mike Bitzer was playing here, how good he was playing, but does Zach Driscoll get the credit that he deserves? Because last year, the top goals against in the country was 1.5.
No, I mean, Driscoll's played very well. And again, I'm happy. Driscoll, we're very confident with him in the Nets, but I also want to sit there, and I don't want to take anything away from our group because I think that's a collective group statistic, and it was with Bits, it is with Driscoll, it was with Climby, it was with, you know, Danny Backel. It doesn't matter who it is. You know what? Your team defense, I mean, at the end of the day, there's no question. I mean, that person's got to stop the puck. We all understand it comes down to that person stopping the puck. But if you're not getting second chance opportunities, if you're getting shots from the outside, if your penalty killers are doing a good job up ice, if you're minimizing the amount of opportunities in the zone, everybody gets an assist on that statistic is all I'm getting at, Schultze.
You're 13th in scoring offense this year. You were 42nd last year. That's a big jump. What's accounted for it?
I just think, again, we have a lot of guys coming into their own. We were young last year, Schultze. We had 6 freshman forwards. Now, we had a little more experience in the back line, you know, with Juice and Dylan. They could, you know, they generated some offense. But I just think, again, there's a combination of a lot of things. We're just a year older up front. We have those 6 freshmen last year are sophomores. Aaron Miller and Adam Brady right now. I mean, they're juniors / seniors. We're just a lot more experienced, and we're just a lot more savvier. And part of that is going to, you know, you asked me a question a little bit about our power play, and it's also helped our power play as well, just being a little more experienced.
Scoring defense also is up 11 spots from last year. Right now you're number 9. You win a lot of games when you're in the top 10 in scoring defense, don't you?
Well, 100%. And that Braves made a good point. We had one of the articles in the USCHO or one of those websites, but Bray just said, when you're good defensively, and we preach about it, when you're good defensively, when you defend quick and we get the puck quick, it's amazing that turns into